Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard, and we know that the truth will forever stand. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. So if you like the truth, just strap on your seatbelts. Let's go into some very interesting scriptures. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to begin a series of teachings. And let me show you structurally, outline, give you an outline of where we're going to go to here in the next few episodes of the teaching on the Shepherd's Call. First of all, we're going to begin tonight in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start in the 23rd verse. And we're going to cover verses 23, 24, 25, and 26, and 27. And then we're going to add, if you will, some text, some context to the substance here of these particular verses. And we're going to expound on it and try to take you back and give you a clear understanding of the very complicated, and I'm talking complicated, hard to understand. Listen, the Bible says, if a gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And friends, we are destroyed, according to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, for the lack of knowledge. And so if that's true, then I'm going to tell you, with everything within you, as it has been within me for the last 50 years on my journey through the Word, my evolutionary progress, which has been very slow, painful, heartache. You know, he said, I didn't come to bring peace. This is the words of our Messiah. I come to bring a sword. And you know, the sword is represented in Thessalonians that Paul wrote about as the sword of the Spirit. So with the true Spirit, now there's many spirits, and the Bible says to try them. How are you going to try them? Give them the word test. Now, words of truth are stranger than fiction. Let me repeat that for you. Let it sink down a while, because tonight I'm going to get into some substance of meat. And I hope that if you're a Bible student of the Holy Word, I hope that nothing will upset you tonight that you hear from my lips. I don't intend, or that's not my intentions. But the Bible said, preach the gospel in season and out. And so tonight we'll do that, and we will try our best with the Spirit of truth that we recognize as the Spirit. And I said, the Bible says, try the spirits. I've tried my own, and I have been weighed in the balances, and most of the time I've come up short or wanting for knowledge. I didn't get all of my knowledge, what little I have gotten, that ain't very much. I didn't get it all in one heaping tablespoonful, Mama used to give me castor oil. I don't know if you've ever taken any castor oil, but to me, back when I was a young man, young child, growing up, that was the number one remedy for what ails you. Yeah, I don't care what you had, castor oil seemed like it would do the job. And I would get well real quick, even to have to think about having to tell my mom or dad I was sick simply because of that. So I hope tonight that you are able to take the oil of the Spirit. And the Bible says now, in your mouth it's going to be sweet as honey, but in your belly it's going to be bitter. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Buddy? Well, let me explain to you here. You know, when we hear the word with joy, the Bible says that we'll receive it with joy. Every man's spirit really wants to hear the word or something truth, something new or something enlightening, and it will inspire you for the moment. Then the Bible says, now listen, here's the danger with the hard facts of truth. Truth is demanding. Truth is changing. Truth is separation. Truth is hard. It's a hard saying, and who can hear it? So then, if you have your senses, and I'm talking about your spiritual senses, not your carnal mind, because most people back here in Genesis use the carnal mind to think about what happened in the garden in chapter 3. We're going to cover that extensively as we move from 1 to 2 to 3. We'll talk about the fifth day creation and the sixth day creation. And lo and behold, the third day creation. So we're going to discuss, and you know what, folks, I could teach on this for a year and still be back in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. It's true. There is so much within the spirit realm that if all the books were written that should have been written, the world itself wouldn't hold the library that the spirit could write to those who are worthy of its interpretation. Now, the Bible said to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, it forbids to add to or take from. So there's three aspects: add to, take from, or rightly divide. So most people add to. They want their tradition in to go along with their religion. And a bell box preachers, man, how they like to pat you on the back and tickle your ears on Sunday morning. And USDA, the Seventh-day Adventist, which I've taught on the Sabbath here on Worldwide, WWCR, and expounded on the error of the calendars that are present today for the Seventh-day Adventists and the Sunday worshipers. Neither one of those days are correct. Just like the three aspects of do not add to, do not take from, or rightly divide, the same applies to whether it be Saturday, Sunday, or if the moon, of all things, this old moon that hangs in the heaven that's been there for eons, and it's there for a purpose. Genesis 1:14 describes it as there for a purpose. It is there for signs and for moads, which means months in the Hebrew, moad, months in the English. You see that? Months. Now the months are divided into weeks, not weeks divided into months, as the calendar Babylonian system has done with an imaginary. Think about this. Think about how much faith you have to have, or how much trust. And oh, my people are destroyed. They're in the wrong date. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, it's not important, Pastor Buddy. All those things were under the law, and we're not under it no more. We're under the grace of the living God, and God loves everybody. Neighbor, you're going to be in for a rude awakening at Judgment Day. When you stand before the King of all kings, and you've stood him up on his appointments, and you've never bothered to keep any of them, let alone less study to see if you're right or wrong. Hey, man, the Bible said a wise man will check a matter out, or hear a matter out, or inquire in a matter. But the Bible says also, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and the few there be that find it, and a poor man's wisdom delivered the city. Think about that. A poor man's wisdom delivered the city. Nevertheless, it says and continues on, a poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. So if you're in the few, the select, the elite, the fools, oh, I have to say that, God chose the foolish things to condemn or to confuse the world. Did you know that God is guilty of something unimaginable to the mind of the carnality of man? You say, what's that, Pastor Buddy? Well, it's plain and simple. The Bible said God shall send them a strong delusion that they could believe a lie, or they will believe a lie and be damned, who love not the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I have spent many a day in the hills of East Tennessee and the limestone cave systems, and we are blessed abundantly with the caves. I used to, as a young man carrying a Bible, trying to preach, and I would preach my guts out. I would sweat in the pulpits, and I'd leap, and I'd shout and point my finger and condemn, and didn't really understand what I was talking about. I would go, as the scripture said, into the mountain, and I'd hew down timber. I would compass land and sea. I was a very, very energetic, zealful missionary. I wanted souls added to the kingdom of Christ. I would bring them to the house of God, and God would blow up on them, as it says in scripture. You looked for much, but it came to little. You went into the mountain, you hewed down timber, brought it to my house, and I did blow up on it, saith the Lord. Well, that's what I was doing. I didn't have any knowledge. And I got so frustrated with the denominational system of Christianity. Man, I was, to say the least, I was really embarrassed for man, our people, how weak, how traditional that we had come. There was not any that truly wanted salvation and truth. Oh, you know, John 4:24 said God is a spirit. Boy, everybody wants that. You go to all these churches, man, they like to shout and hallelujah and hallelujah and all that. But when truth comes, the Bible says in spirit and in truth. When truth comes, the Bible says they will cast you out as evil. And oh man, I was getting me a lion's share of being cast out. Been thrown out of every church in this county, practically, for preaching too much truth. And I began to be so frustrated that I had to retire from preaching for a short period of time. And I wrote a song one time as I was sitting in the cave, meditating and fasting. I'd been there for quite a few weeks. And I had my guitar and my Bible and my water. That's all I had. And I wrote a song that was taken from the text of the Psalms of David, Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I'm God. You know, I was running all over the country proclaiming God and didn't really know who God was. Yeah, the Bible said the zeal of my people, my house, he said, Israel, has eaten me up. Now, how can that be so that we have more zeal than we have knowledge? Well, you know, the Bible says to get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. We got a lot of smart people, PhDs, DDs, and all that, that are in the pulpits, tickling ears. But it also says, with knowledge, get understanding. And so then we're going to start a series here in Genesis that will astound you. That will perhaps be maybe the first time that your ears have ever heard such utterances from the mouth as I expound in the series to come. And Dr. Gary is at fault for getting me into this because he and I have been working on an article of questions. And so Dr. Gary provoked me to get into this area with the thought process that we've shared. And here I am. Genesis chapter 1, verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, you know, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. I want to start at day five. For the sake of time, it's so valuable here on WWCR. I pray for your spirit before I get into this. I pray for your understanding. I pray for your wisdom and your knowledge to increase. How can you hear without a preacher? The Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Oh, people have got faith to tithe. Oh, they're faithful. Oh, they got faith to go up on the altar and pray on Sunday morning. Well, listen to the Sunday school teachers teaching out of a quarterly, and I don't have anything against printed matter, but it's conjectured of substance of man's mind. And I do not let myself become a victim to any man's mind because I want the mind of Christ. And if you've got the mind of Christ, the Bible said we can have fellowship together. If I'm ahead of you and I preach meat and you have a milk understanding or a milk appetite, you see a little, and that's why I'm so careful here that I hope and trust that we only have those who are able to discern through the anointing of the Spirit to discern right from wrong or to separate the chaff from the wheat or the light from the darkness and get into the meat substance, and we'll deal with the milkers. If you're on milk now, you don't need to hear this message. You probably just should turn the radio off and run. Because this might blow you plumb out of the water as little babes in Christ. But I am not afraid, if you have Christ in you, at some point, something I've said here or will say in this series will inspire you, will dig into your heart, will reach down and cut to the bottom, dividing even the joints and the marrow of the bone, is a discerner. In other words, will identify with your spirit, because they that are Christ will hear Christ's word. Now, Christ was knowledgeable enough that when he taught, even his disciples, and these were advanced men sitting at the feet of the Messiah, most of them were, that was in lack of knowledge. They had to constantly ask Christ to explain the parables and the terminologies and the metaphors and the analogies that he was laying forth to keep the world or the wicked or those who are blind intentionally or lost intentionally. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, God loves everybody. I have said that is the biggest error of Christianity. God does not love everybody. Oh, you say, well, now the Bible says God has no respect to persons. Glory to God. Well, he don't. But he has respect too. If you'll hear his word and obey him, he will draw nigh unto you. If you will not hear his word and you will not obey his commandments, he will withdraw, or as he said, I will hide myself from you. Therein, God has respect to, not of. Now, respect to those who keep his commandments, and disrespect, because you're disrespecting him. I said a while ago in the Sabbath issue, hey, neighbor, let me tell you something. If you had a doctor's appointment, and this appointment was you know, it was very important. You had to keep it. In other words, let's say you had a heart problem. It was a major, and you was going to have to require immediate surgery for repair of the artery or something of that nature, and you had to have a bypass, and that was critical. And the doctor done diagnosed you and said, well, look, you can't live over 7 days. So you need to come to me on an appointed day, and we'll perform the surgery for you. Well, you see, the greatest God of the universe requires you to come before him on a specific, a certain day. Just like on day 5 here, he made, let's see what he made. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Isn't that strange? Not creatures in plural, but a living creature after his kind. His, not their kind. The distinction is between the creature kind and cattle. You say, well, cattle is a creature. I'll prove to you that there is the Hebrew word here. See, the English is so, we take so many things for granted in English word process, and the Hebrew is very distinct in its meaning and singularity. Kind after kind. That is the subject and the thrust of what I want to get to you tonight. Praise Yahweh. The creeping thing and beast, singular, of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, not their kind. Now, we've got into this, well, the beast were the cattle and the donkeys and the elephants and all these other things. Well, we're going to prove that ain't right. And God said, it was good. Now, the end of the fifth day ended right there. So now, here's what we need to understand. Where did Cain get his wife? When he was separated and went out from Adam, when he was disobedient, when he became a murderer, there was a pronouncement upon him. Now, that's in chapter 4, Genesis, and I'm getting ahead of my messages in the future, but I want to cover this in a broad context and maybe lay a little groundwork, a gestalt, a thought, if you will, for you, if you can understand that there were other beings, other creatures, maybe other races. I think I can prove this. Later on, I'm going to have to get in depth to you so that your understanding would not be void, but you would come up to speed, if so be that you need to come up to speed. Some of you are already there. I appreciate you. But those who are not, let me, please suffer with me as I try to labor in my lack of communication skills, I guess, with trying to communicate with those who have lesser abilities to understand and comprehend without these simple analogies, these simplistic things, as well as the disciples who Christ had to take aside personally, privately, and teach them the true meaning of his parables. Now, in the most awesome chapter in the Bible, I believe, in the book of Matthew, New Testament, is the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, where Christ takes a scathing attack upon who he called Pharisees and Sadducees. We'll get into that. After that, they were offended by his comments of chapter 13. Now, if you go to chapter 13, it's the seed parables, analogy, the kingdoms, and things of this nature, how that there were two different races from Genesis chapter 3. Now, if we go to Genesis 3:15, I want to expound on you, and John 8:44 is a conclusive evidence that Christ knew exactly who the Canaanites were and where they came from. Do you? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, why? Oh, sure I do. They were just people like you and me, and they just went astray. Well, let me remind you that the Canaanites were offspring of Cain. Now, Genghis Khan in the Mongolian eastern region of the earth, and all these hordes of Asiatics, they are there for a particular purpose. Now, if you use the word Cain in its context and look at what the word Cain means, you may be surprised at what it means. It means Cain and his offspring were Oriental. Now, that's in the eastern region of the earth, because Cain went out to the land of Nod, which means wanderers, vagabonds, really, is what they become, because Christ expounds on this seed in John 8:44. Genesis 3:14-15 is perhaps the key to your understanding here as I begin to go into this very important meat-eating subject. Now, if you're not a meat eater, you better run. If you are hanging with me, stay tuned for the next exciting episodes as we get into some very, very important, and I'm talking about astonishing, astounding, magnificent, magnanimous revelations about what went on here in Genesis chapter 1 through 4. Oh my, I could write a book on this, ladies and gentlemen. Matter of fact, I have written several lengthy articles on these subjects. And we would encourage you to try to contact the Shepherd's Call Ministry, Pastor Buddy, Dr. Gary, or Dr. Jack, and the associates that we have back in our ministry. Each of those who are private to most of my teaching. Matter of fact, we have one CD that has compressed 240 messages on a lot of powerful, impacting messages that you probably, perhaps, need to hear. And if you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, now when I was back in the cave, the Father spoke to me as he did Elijah, when Elijah was fleeing for his life or confused about Jezebel and Ahab, the kingdom of Babylon that was being taken over. The Baal worshippers were in power, just like they are today. Now, when I said that most people don't even know who God is, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 said there's many gods. Well, I was up there pondering God. The word God, G-O-D, D-O-G, backwards, if you would speak it in Hebrew, mean dog. Is that a disrespectful term? Is the word God a solid, righteous word that we should identify our Creator? I don't think so. Yet for the sake of tradition and all those who have come to know God, I assume that you were like I was. And hopefully you know more than I did. I didn't even know who God was. I didn't know what his original name was in Scripture. I never bothered to look in there. For instance, let me give you a little tidbit of information here. Remember when Adam knew Eve, his wife, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1? And she conceived. Now, we take for granted that Adam knew her, and it was Adam's seed in her womb as a result of Adam knowing her. Now, that's taken a lot for granted. You could have a bride that says she's a virgin, and Eve was, by the way, before she left the garden. She wasn't a virgin, folks, after she came out of the garden. She wasn't a virgin. She left the garden a non-virgin. I'll put it that way to get it real straight into you. Let me repeat this. Eve left the garden, the flaming sword, the turning out of Adam and Eve. Eve came out of there a non-virgin. You say, well, my heavens, buddy, Adam didn't know her until they left the garden. That is correct. But let's say that you had a virgin wife, and she was espoused to you, and she promised her hand to you in marriage, and one night she was at a party, and this handsome dude came in and beguiled her. Now, you know what the word beguile means. We're going to cover all those things, those words, those Hebrew words as opposed to the English that's in there. I'll show you some of the very important aspects of where you need to go back to get your understanding. And ladies and gentlemen, this is earth-shattering, cutting it right down to where the rubber meets the road. And that's as plain as I can get it for you. If you don't want truth, you don't want to listen to the shepherd's call. You better run back to your Sunday school teacher and ask them to get your quarterly out, because they don't cover things like this in a quarterly. Your PhD in theological seminaries, I call them cemeteries, they don't cover this. You'll not hear it there. You'll only hear it on WWCR 507 with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, with these very important things, where I have the boldness to preach the Word of God without fear of anyone. You see, I'm Yahweh's free man, and I'm bound by no creeds, dogmas, or church deacons to tell me what to preach or when to preach it. Now, I know this don't go over well in the conventional churches, the standard churches of today, because I've been there. I've been thrown out, turned out, for truth. Well, but he couldn't slay him before his time. He had an appointed time. And just like it says in the Greek script, oh, you say, well, God forgive him, Pastor Buddy. Now, you've got to remember that now. You are a hard act to follow here. But now, God forgive him. Jesus, sweet Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the English King James, many errors, many translated words changed, and Satan is crafty. I don't know whether this is delivered or not, but it's something you need to check into. Now, let me challenge you. Luke chapter, I just quoted Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and my advice to you is to get you a older, now some of the newer ones have been changed and altered from the originals that they were taken from, because they went back and recopied these things when they found this very, very upsetting piece of news in the gospel. That's what the gospel is, good news. And yet, when it cuts to the heart, it ain't so good. Remember what I said, it's bitter in your belly. Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, in the English, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. Now, remember the word not. It's what got Eve in trouble by Satan's cunning craftiness, as he almost verbatim spoke and reiterated the commandment that Yah said, of every tree of the garden you shall eat, but of the tree of good and evil thou shalt not eat. Well, that eat is Strong's number 398. Now, I'm going to cover that and show you that word eat could have been, should have been, I believe, interpreted as lay with the snake. I ain't talking about no wiggly thing that crawls through the dust of the earth. These are all spiritual connotations here that's added in, and the metaphors are written in the very spiritual context of Moses and his ability to pen. Remember what the Bible said about the Apostle Paul? Many wrestle with the scriptures of Paul to their death and destruction. Amen. The Bible says the time will come that they will think that they're going to be righteous by killing you for what you say to them. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, we're in a modern era, and that's unheard of. Well, I've been threatened with guns, knives, attacks, and everything else that the devil could throw at me, but I keep on keeping on, and I know until my appointed day to be taken out. I'd rather be taken out for the truth's sake than taken out by cancer or diseases or heart trouble or something of that suffering nature. Now, I have only one life to give, and I regret that I only have one life to give for the truth of Christ. I hope that you feel the same way. If you're not willing to make the sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice, no man has any greater love than this, that he'd lay down his life for the truth's sake of his brother. And that's what I'm putting my life on the line every time that I witness in these hard-hitting facts. I uproot the tares and provoke them to come against me. Now, Bible says, straight is the way, and there's a gate, and a few there be that find it. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way, and many there be that go there unto their death and destruction. And if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Oh my, the apostles were beaten. They were killed. They were stoned. Oh yes, they were treated miserably, just as Christ. Well, listen here what the Greek says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Now, my question to you, did a bunch of intelligent Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes in charge of the religious system of that day, the Sanhedrin court, under the auspices and the guidelines of the Roman invasion forces, they got authority first from Rome, Pilate. You see, Herod was a Canaanite Jew. Well, you say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Buddy? Well, if you would turn quickly, if you have time, just take a note and do it later, because I want you to hear what I've got to say. I'm just overjoyed with the Spirit bubbling up in my heart to try to see as much into this mystery as I can in 60 minutes, and I'm using 55 of them to tell you about the truth. Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. That's the original Greek. Now, if there was a knowledgeable, the Bible said the serpent is wise and his children is wise, and the Bible says, you generation of vipers. That's the snake people, and we're talking about a snake. We're talking about a people from the literal offspring of Satan upon the earth, still visible and manifest in the earth, doing their job by gathering up all the silver and gold and the riches of those who deserve it, with 97% of the world's population in poverty or at the brink under the taxation of usury and government dominance through Babylon, with 3% of those in the elite class that own 97% of its wealth upon the earth. Now, what does the Bible say about those who gather up silver and gold? It's talking about a specific people that would have the power and the cunning craftiness to devise ways to make sure that you work for them. Now, you see, Cain, let me show you something here. Cain was originally a tiller of the ground. Now, isn't that interesting? Well, there is a dust of life, people. Remember what Christ said in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, to the snake, to that old serpent, the devil. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, now, spirit can't get women pregnant. You know that Satan didn't have sex. I've heard that, but I don't believe it. Glory to God. Well, let me ask you a question, and I challenge you to do this for your own sake, as I did for mine back in the days when I had to fast and pray to get the revelations that I have got. And I found out the more revelations of God, the more I hated. And the more hated I become, the more isolated I become to the world, because the world didn't love me, and I certainly didn't love the world. He that loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. So come on. Get with the program here. Join me in our battle. Folks, we need help. And the help is to spread the truth. Now, if the gospel cuts you to your heart, if the gospel provokes you to hate, you say, oh, nobody. I've got the Spirit of Jesus. Glory to God. I can't hate nobody. I'll guarantee you one thing. You follow me around for about a week circuit going to these churches, and you'll find out that those that claim sweet Jesus ain't got very much Jesus in them when you get down to the real truth of the matter, because they'll cast you out. It'll cut them to the heart. They'll threaten you with the law. Call, we'll call the law. We don't believe that stuff here. We won't have it. I say, well, where have I got out of the Word?
We don't care. That's not what we believe.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it the same way that the prophets of Baal was in the days of Elijah when he went up to the cave to hide, and the Father caught him there and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Remember now, folks, he was 40 days fasting. He didn't eat a thing for 40 long days until the Word of God came to him in the cave. How long is it going to take you for the Word of our Almighty Father to reach your heart in the cave of your mind? The deep recesses, the darkness. Let the light shine in there. And let your knowledge come up to speed and save yourself from this untoward generation. That's what the Bible says. Oh, when Stephen, in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, when he was a preaching this gospel, it said it cut those who profess to be Jews. Now listen, it cuts the Jews. Oh, that's God's chosen people, Pastor Buddy. Don't say nothing about them. They were doing it ignorantly. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's true, then the Greek of Luke 23:34 should be thrown out, and let's just use the English from what the Greek was translated to wrongly, by the way. If the Greek's right, what are we gonna bank on? That is the closest to the original that we got. You see, the English wasn't translated until it was translated from Greek, which was translated from Latin. You see what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen? You better get with the program. You better study. You better pray. You better seek Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You better put on the whole armor. You better be ready to fight. And don't give place to the devil and resist him, and he'll flee from you. And turn from your tradition, and Yahweh will come in that heart. You're piercing with the truth. And oh my, how wonderful it is to know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Or the churches will set you free. Oh yeah, you got a choice. You can go to any church of your choice. Whatever you are, Billy Graham said, whatever you are, go to your church of your choice and be a good one. ain't no room in heaven for good people. Oh yeah, that's right. He said, oh, Pastor Buddy, Lord have mercy, what are you saying? Glory to God. You can give all your goods to feed the poor and have not charity, it profits you nothing. What is charity? Rejoices in the truth. Ah, that's the separation from the men and the boys. That's the milk to the meat doctrine. Get off of milk. If you're on milk, you're unskillful in the word of Yahweh. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, which shall pierce even the dividing the asunder to the joint and the marrow of the bone. That's how powerful the word. It is sharper and quicker than a two-edged sword. That's the Spirit. And oh, how the truth will, if you will have it. Well, Pastor Buddy, I would, but my wife, she just can't see this eighth-day Sabbath you teach on in the moon calendar. She just can't see that, glory to God. And, you know, I'd hate for it to be a divorce. He that loveth not me more than he loves his wife is not worthy of me. Why don't you step up to the plate and be a man, and maybe, just maybe, your wife would have a little bit more respect for you for being a man. You see, you're being tried every day to measure up to the cloth that you're cut out of. And you know a tree by its fruit. The old saying goes, if you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. It's time that you quit falling for the lie of Satan and his traditional crowd and come out of here, my people. Just like Eve fell for the lie of Satan as he beguiled her, And she did eat. What did she eat? Oh, she ate something off a tree back there, Pastor Buddy. And, you know, I guess it was an apple, pear, peach. I don't know what it was, but the Bible said it was a tree. Have you ever took time to reference the word tree in the Hebrew? Remember the blind man that Christ healed? And Christ asked him, he said, can you see now? And the man looked at him and said, well, I see men as trees. Ladies and gentlemen, that man got a revelation of just exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Oh, my hallelujah. Remember Zechariah? He was in the tree, the sycamore tree. If you'll seek him more, you'll get the tree of knowledge. Not of evil, but of good. And from that, you will separate yourself from everything that is walking disorderly according to the truth. Satan has got a literal seed here upon the earth, and he comes across as the children of God. How can such a twist, very ironic twist, happen so suddenly? Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been progressing. If you go back to the Bible, you'll see that the mixed multitude of Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, Numbers chapter 11, verses 2, and Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 4. You'll see the word mixed multitude translated in the King James. And if you will use the Hebrew, it means a mongrelized race. That's who Christ was identifying there in John 8:44. That's what provoked the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes to want to kill him. Ah, oh, those lion snakes. Generation, what's the word generate? Race. Well, let me repeat that, race. John said, you race of vipers. Christ said, you race of vipers. Your father is Cain. Your father is the devil, and the devil was the father of Cain. Oh, you say, Pastor Buddy, now Adam was. Well, now, let me read you here where I was started, and let me make a point here in Genesis 4 and 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Now, let's say that she was already pregnant before she came out of the garden with paternal twins. One of one race, or genetic, remember, kind after kind, and one of another. Now, is that a possibility? Distinct, yes. Remote, possible. But is it a probability? Could. It could have happened. That she got beguiled inside the garden and the father put her on the outside because it was not permitted for her to have an illicit seed in the paradise garden. Just as Satan was not permitted to remain in heaven because the Bible says in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, my time is just flying away. Verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael the Mighty One. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, these are spirit. This is connotation. This is metaphor. This is allegorical and spirit. Well, let me ask you a question. Was that a spirit in Genesis 18 that came down and visited Abraham as he sat in the gate and on the plains of Mamre, looked up and away off came three men walking? Ladies and gentlemen, if the word is correct, one of them was Yahweh. And I know who the other two were. So, the Bible doesn't say what their names were, but it does say that one of them was the Lord. L-O-R-D in the King James, meaning the Mighty One, the Father, Almighty God. Can God come down and visit man? Is there evidence in Scripture? Oh, my heavens, time wouldn't permit me to go into the evidence that angels come down in solid third-dimensional bodies of flesh. They had eyes. They had hair. They had teeth. They could breathe. They had lungs. They could eat and drink. They were real, solid, third-dimensional, just as you are, beings. And they have that ability, and that's what happened in Genesis 6. My, we go there. I mean, you're going to be flipped out with what's happened in Genesis 6. When those angels that left their first estate, according to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6, they left their first estate. They voluntarily, now remember, the Bible said it was not for angels to marry. These were if you will, caretakers of God's heritage and God's progeny and God's offspring that were meant to be from Him. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, now don't you get into that glory to God. God can't get a woman pregnant. Well, then you might as well throw the Christian faith out the door and a baby with a bathwater. That babe that laid in the manger and was wrapped in swaddling clothes that you worship every Christmas and adorn your trees and celebrate was the Son of God. In other words, the offspring of God. God got Mary pregnant. The Bible said He overshadowed her. Now, you can interpret that word in any way you want to. You say, oh, now God wouldn't have sex with a woman. How did God get His Son down here? She got pregnant. You say, well, that was a supernatural occasion, but that didn't happen back in the garden. If it could happen in the event of time 2,000 years ago when God overshadowed Mary, then it could have happened in the Garden of Eden with Eve. And that's exactly where woman was deceived and beguiled by that crafty one, Lucifer. He could not create a human. He could not create man. But he knew within himself that he had the power, with the aid of a female, to bring forth in His image. Oh, my. That's exactly what happened when he brought forth after His own kind, and Christ said, I will put enmity between you and between your seed and between the seed of the serpent. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is gone. I apologize for running out of time. I am so really pumped in the spirit. I really am. I could go on with this for days. I just wish I had about five people. I could preach the rest of the night to this message. Won't you call me? If you've enjoyed the message, if you can eat meat, if you belong to the elite, the few, not the many. I won't get many calls, but I'll get a few. The few that do call me, I'll know who they are. Now, if you want to call me up and take issue, well, you know, you might have to call me back on your nickel. Praise Yahweh at a later time, because I'll be taking radio calls, so we can get into that. But I will address every question. I will cover and cross every T and dot every I. And the message that I brought you. And I haven't even got, I just laid some groundwork just to establish the gestalt of thought. I'll get into it in more contextual form next Sunday night at 8 on WWCR Worldwide. We're live tonight here in the studio. I'm Pastor Buddy. And you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would like to write me, simply do this. Quickly, address your letter, Pastor Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, Post Office Box 22, that's 22284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, it's important, get your zip in there. If you don't get the name of the city right, and you put the zip in there, they'll zip around that. 37824. It's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's up 37824. My telephone number again, very quickly. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, let me talk to you about Dr. Graham, Dr. Jack, the boys that helped me on the program. Stand behind me. These are two medical doctors. They're medically trained. They have twice the intelligence that I have on every level and every subject. They're well educated. I've got an 8th grade education. These men are college trained, and they're professional at the uttermost in what they do. And they love the truth so much that they help me through their practices. They help sponsor me on the broadcast. Now, they don't sponsor all of it, but they sponsor the biggest lion's share. We need more. Help us out. Call Dr. Gary. Tell him you heard Pastor Buddy. 1-877. This is a toll-free number for you. 1-877-289-7439. Or Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. It would do them good just to hear you say, well, I heard the Shepherd's Call, radio broadcast. I appreciate you sponsoring Pastor Buddy. Is there any way I could help you? Do you have any products that I could buy to benefit me for the cost of my money? Yes, they do. They take Visa, MasterCard. If you want to put it on your card, If you want to send them a check, they'll take it. Now, call them in the morning between the office hours of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's toll-free. 1-888-281-7320 is Dr. Jack. 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Gary, these are great men. I love them very much. They really stand behind what I preach and teach. And why? Because they've been convicted that the truth has made them free. You see, the church has promised to set you free. Huh. But they keep you enslaved because they never make you free. If you're free, you can roam the whole gamut of the Spirit. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living one. And don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the deeper you go, the more fearful it becomes, because you have to separate yourself from everything that walketh disorderly and not after the rudiments of our Heavenly Father. Well, I see that my time is about coming gone. So let me give you a preview of next Sunday night's message. I'll pick up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 23 through 24, where we cover tonight. I'll go into this strange being. It's a missing link. The anthropologists will tell you there's a missing chain. We know something's missing in the genetic chain. Something's been altered, and something purposely has been like a monkey wrench. A genetic monkey wrench has been thrown into the mix. And our anthropologists and our scientists are just now coming around to maybe beginning to figure out that there's a problem. Well, we're going to get into that, and I'll show you and explain to you where the different races of the earth came from, where they migrated, and where they're at in position, and for what purpose. See, God made everything good. Even Satan. He's the God of the earth, and he's a God of good and evil. I mean, he can be very good, ladies and gentlemen, but boy, when you get really dig him up with the word, you can see how evil he'll become. And that's what I'm talking about. They appear to you as righteous because Satan has sent him a strong delusion in the sense that he's got him deceived in the bell boxes. And they'll kill you thinking they're doing Yahweh a service. So that's what I'm talking about. Well, let me give you a comment. I'll be out there here in a couple of minutes. And I appreciate all of those that listen. I pray that you pray for my ministry. I really need your help. I need to hear from you. It's important. I got a letter the other day and had $20 bill stuck in it and nothing on it except addressed to Pastor Buddy. Man, you don't know how that touches my heart. Somebody out there is listening in and somebody helping me. I received one letter from a brother that had over $1,000 in the letter, just in the letter. And how thankful I was to receive that. What a blessing. And so I need your help to stay on. I would like to have more time. I mean, if they give me 2 hours, I'm a 2 hour preacher. You know, it takes me 2 hours to really get into the context of a message. So I have to outline, and it takes me a long time to do that. But set you up in thought. I want to be very thorough. I have hundreds of tapes on these messages that I've already preached to you tonight. If you'd like them, you just give me a call. I would be glad to receive your call. Yahweh richly bless you until that I see you again. This is Pastor Buddy saying, Yahweh bless you. Shalom.